Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. Want to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. We have a special guest tonight for all of you guys and girls out there transitioning from military to civilian. Deanna Calling, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Great, great. You sound real well tonight.
I am. Thank
all right.
You.
Good. Now, before we get started, one of the first things we like to always do is get out your contact information. So can you please let our listeners know how to reach you?
Sure. So my phone number is 1-847-423-8276. My website is holistic-careercoaching, one word, .com. I also have a profile. I'm the only Deanna Calling on LinkedIn. So if you type in Deanna and then Cowling, you'll find me. I also have a Facebook page that's holistic.careercoaching. You can also find me on Twitter at Deanna. And my email is deanna@holistic.careercoaching.com or holistic.careercoaching@gmail.com. Mouthful, but that's how you can reach me.
Great. So for all of you guys out there that doesn't really have the time to listen to the entire interview, though we know that you still do, you can write this down, and also later on in the show, she'll give out the information again. All right, so now, let's really get into your passion. I was interested in one of the ways that I found you was I was researching a little bit on things for veterans. So I came across your profile. I read everything from the front to the back, and I was so happy to get in touch with you and the things that you told me that enlightened me, things that I wish I would have known when I got out of the service over 20 years ago. So with a lot of kids now and young adults coming out of the service and not really having a place to turn to, it was just a breath of fresh air that when someone comes to me, I know someone who I can send them to. And so let's talk about, you know, how did this become your passion?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for all the compliments. You know, I do what I do. It's my passion because, you know, I am a lifetime dependent. I grew up with my father in the Navy, and I traveled the world as a dependent, and I call myself a lifetime dependent because it's a part of who I am now and why I do what I do. I helped my stepfather transition out of the Navy, and it was difficult. You know, I thought that, and he thought that there would be all these services that they do offer that would make it very easy for him to find a job and that there would be enough preparation time and enough courses that would really help him get the job that he was qualified for. And that just wasn't the case. And it took a while for him to find the employment that he actually was qualified for but was, you know, the whole time very frustrated. And I thought, my dad going through this, I can't imagine that he's the only one, you know, so speaking to other people and finding out that this is a problem, this is something that's happening nationwide, I was like, that I need to do something about this. So I, you know, short story or long story short, I decided to study psychology, you know, in college, and then got my master's in counseling, focusing on the military population as they transition into higher education, really to how to help veterans understand how to use their benefits so that they can best make use of their benefits so that they can prepare themselves for the civilian sector. So it's my lifelong passion, and it's something that I feel like I was put here to do, for sure.
You know, I can tell just by the way that you're talking about this now and the conversations that we've had that this is really something that's true to your core. And is this something that also inspired you to become a holistic career coach?
Definitely. You know, I think that the idea of holisticness is, you know, where you take into consideration every part of something. And when you consider, like, holistic career coaching, you're looking at the entire person's life. And when someone comes to me for career coaching, I don't just say, okay, you're coming to me for, as a veteran, you're coming to me because you're transitioning out of the Army and you just want to know how to translate your DD-214 into civilian terms. I want to talk about everything else that's involved in your transition, because it's not just your DD-214, your resume, your social media, things like this. It's much more, it's everything else. All the other parts of transitioning that also need to be addressed, because you're not just transitioning alone. It's also your family, your dependents, and it's a different situation. You have support, you know, and you don't necessarily have those when you get out of the military. So let's talk about what's going to be different and how you're going to manage that. So that's the holistic approach that I take as a career coach, and I think it's important to keep that at the forefront, especially with veterans, because they need that balance, I think, that's sometimes missing with other career counselors.
You know, and I like the way that you brought that out, because it makes you think that you don't put everybody into the same boat. And by your holistic
right.
approach, it's really detailed for that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I definitely don't have a cookie-cutter approach. Definitely not.
Why don't you tell us about one of your favorite moments that you've had as a coach?
Well, one of my favorite moments as a coach was working with a client who was in the Marine Corps. And, you know, he was definitely struggling with trying to find federal employment, you know, and came to me, needed a federal resume, had a military-style resume, which is block resume, kind of, you know, everything's very much one way. And, you know, the success of him understanding how to tell his story in civilian terms and realizing that there's so much that he actually did in the Marine Corps. You know, sometimes I think people in the military, veterans definitely will talk down about, like, not just kind of say, oh, I didn't really do that much, or, you know, what I did, it wasn't really that big of a deal, when actually the skills are so transferable. It's about how you market them. And my particular client was able to land a position in as a GS-11, you know, with his degree and everything else, doing exactly what he wanted and getting the phone call from him saying, you know, I didn't even know that I could have this job. I didn't know that, you know, when I joined the Marine Corps at 18, that I could have this career at this point in my life. And, you know, it just makes me feel like I've found myself again. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, I knew who I was. When I got out,
wow,
I feel like I lost myself. And now I feel like I've found myself again. And that was special.
Now, I can really see how you get a lot of how it makes you feel when you've helped someone. And
mm-hmm.
you can put together basically what they've been through, put it in civilian terms, fix their resumes so that they can get in the door. Because a lot of times, like you said, when you laughed a little bit, was how it was like a block resume. And so you know
yeah.
how to really put it together to highlight everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're working so much on, you know, all of your different clients. What goals do you have for yourself as a career and a life coach? I mean, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, that question. I haven't been asked that in a long time. Being on the other end, huh? You know, I just
yeah.
finished submitting my application for a clinical psychology PhD with a concentration in existential and humanistic transpersonal psychology. And so my focus would, my dissertation pretty much would be focusing on how to help military veterans and their dependents regain their identities and in the civilian sector. Not that they lost them ever, but regaining them in a new way and helping them find that support that they need if they have to create it, with research and with focus groups and focusing on how using the veteran population as the main primary source through qualitative research and not quantitative, not just asking thousands and thousands of people, but really spending the time to have focused conversations with, you know, a certain number of veterans to really get the information to produce a solid dissertation. I want to be an advocate, you know, who is not just on a soapbox saying, listen to me, veterans are important and their issues are important and we need to support them. But I also want to back it up with research. And, you know, that's what gets more benefits and more support from the government and other agencies, that research. So I've got to, I feel like if someone's got to do it, it's got to be me. So that's, I'm waiting to hear back on that. I should hear back by April 2nd. So fingers crossed.
Okay.
And another thing, you know, I really just want to, I want to write, I want to teach, but I also want to write a textbook on, you know, existentialism and military veteran transition. I think that would be such a great thing to teach, the psychology course on military veterans and the transition and those particular topics and issues and how to work with veterans in particular. I think a lot of civilian counselors and therapists are very are missing a lot of information, and so it's not as helpful to the veterans that they're seeing. And so teaching, writing a book and teaching a course, I think would be a major goal that I would love to achieve in the next 5 years.
I think that you'll definitely get there. I mean, just by the passion that you have in it, and what we here on Think Big Radio do is we try to get people on the show who really have a passion for what they're doing. So with your passion for veterans and then the things that you're looking forward to in the next 5 years, what would you say would be the biggest advice or quality that you could share with our audience that'll help them?
You know, if you want to think big and you want to achieve those goals, it's perseverance. You know, you've got to persevere through the difficult times when you feel that you maybe can't do it, or there's someone that says that, people that are doubting you, or you've got to hold on to that belief and persevere through it all, because at the end of the day, you know, you're the one that's going to fulfill your dreams or not. And, you know, it's making
Wow.
sure that you're the one writing your story and not handing that pen off to someone else to write your story. But, you know, I want to write my own story. I snatched that pen a long time ago and I'm like, I'm writing it, and even through the bad times. And so I've persevered to be here. So I think that's the one piece of advice, is definitely to just stick to your goals and persevere, and you will make it. If, you know, that's just how it works out. Success is inevitable if you just persevere. So.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Just sitting here thinking about the things that you've said, and how I can't wait to get this information out to more people. I'd like for you to share your contact information one more time.
Sure.
How can they reach you?
Okay. So my phone number to reach me is 847-423-8276. My website is holistic-careercoaching.com. I have a Psychology Today profile. It's kind of long. You can find it on my LinkedIn profile. I'll say it now, though. It's therapist.psychologytoday.com/RMS. And Rainbow Mary Sam /167149. You can find me on LinkedIn if you just type in Deanna Cowling, DEANNA Cowling. I'm the only Deanna Cowling on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook at deanna.cowling.3. So I have a company page at holistic.careercoaching. You can find me on Twitter at FedCoachDeanna. And my email is deanna@holistic-careercoaching.com and holistic.careercoaching@gmail.com.
Great. Now, one of the things that we also would like for you to talk to our listeners about is the area that they're located in. Do you think that you have been able to help people in different areas, or do you just work with people in a particular area?
I work with people all over. So I have clients. I currently live in Chicago, Illinois, and I have clients in Chicago that I see, but actually most of my clients are not in the Midwest. A lot of them are on the East Coast or the West Coast, and a lot of them are also abroad, either on military bases or working on federal contracts. So I work with people that are distance clients, either through Skype or FaceTime or some other sort of social media app or just the phone.
What would you say would have been the most challenging? Was it your father that was the most challenging when it came to working with a veteran, or did you find someone after you had, you know, got the ropes down and knew exactly what you were doing? What would be like a challenging client?
A challenging, you know, working with my father wasn't challenging because he was very ready. He was frustrated, and understandably so. At that point, I was new, and I was trying to figure it out with him. So I think we were both just trying to do the best we could. But I think, in general, a client that is challenging for me is a client that is not really ready to do the work themselves. So in my business, for what I do personally, I need for my clients to be ready to do the work. I'm not the coach that's going to do it for you. You know, I want to enable my clients to feel that they can then do what they need to do and no longer need me for that particular service. My goal is for my clients to not need me anymore. I'm not the coach that wants to keep a client for 20 years because that means I'm not doing my job, you know?
Wow, that's right.
So yeah, a client for me that is difficult. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm listening.
Yeah, so a client for me that's challenging is someone who, to me, who is not ready to work and wants me to just, you know, to do all the work as far as like the research or just whatever it is. I have to meet them where my clients, where they're at. And if my clients are at a place of complacency or just, you know, they're confused or just not ready to start, then I'm not the right coach for them. And I have to have that conversation and be honest because they need to be ready to do the work because that's the only way they can truly move forward and feel fulfilled on their own. You know, and that's the part of the holistic piece of what I do is that feeling like you fulfilled your own goals yourself. And I can't do that for anyone. So, yeah, that's a challenging client for me.
You know, and that's probably a challenging client for anyone is people that you want to help, but then they're not ready because it's almost like they're wasting your time and then they'll go to, you know, another seminar and another seminar and another seminar, but never quite putting in the work from everything that they've learned or from what one person can teach them.
Yeah, you know, and it's just sometimes it could just be that there's when that happens, it's a lot of disconfidence, a lack of confidence that they can actually do it. Or just being unsure of the future. What if you do it and you don't like it? You know, but you're just never going to know until you take that chance. And so I think, you know, being honest and working with a coach who is really there for you and supports you like I do, you know, I'm going to guide my clients as much as I can down the right path. And, you know, we're going to explore as much as we can so that so that the clients can find what is the best fit. And that way, if they find through informational interviews or things that, you know, a certain particular job or industry isn't right for them, well, good thing we found that out before you applied for the job and received the offer. You know, there are ways to avoid the kind of commitment phobia because you've already kind of filtered that out. So I think when people are ready to try, that's when they call me, and I'm ready for that client.
Great. So when we look at the work that's behind it, I know that you're pretty much like the first stop. You know, I come to you, you ask me the probing questions, I answer the questions, and then do you put together a plan for me that I work, and then do you partner with any other organizations that may also be able to, you know, assist me based on my need?
So, yeah, I want to, if you were to come to me, you know, we would definitely sit down and we would have just a general conversation where I would be doing an assessment of you, what you are wanting from me, you know, is what you want from me, what I provide. Am I a good fit for you? Are you a good fit for me? Type of thing, you know? And then going from there, if we're a good fit and if what you need is what I can provide, then we go forward and I make a plan with you. It's modified as needed, you know, because if there's a homework assignment that comes up and you realize that something is different, then we can change things, you know? So it's tentative. You know, as much as I'd love to be an expert in everything, I can't. There's only one lifetime. So I don't exactly partner with other organizations as of yet, but I do refer clients out to other experts as needed. So if someone needs to see someone that's a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a physical therapist or a marriage counselor in particular or a dietitian, a chiropractor, I have a list of people who I've spoken with personally and that I can refer them to for those particular needs to help them. And if it comes to other specialties within the career field or just like if they were more interested in learning more about engineering and I'm not an expert in engineering, I have a large contact list, so I will set up informational interviews, you know, or I have my clients set up informational interviews with my contacts so that they can learn more information. So I try to use my network as best as I can to help my clients succeed.
Now, before you got into realizing that this was something that you felt passionate about, what did you do before this?
I worked a lot of customer service jobs. I worked, you know, as a camp counselor. I worked most recently before I started doing this, before I started my master's program, I worked at a tattoo shop for a year and a half. A tattoo shop, which is kind of random. People don't know that. As the receptionist. I always wanted to work at a tattoo shop. So I worked there, but mostly it was customer service. I helped people figure out what tattoos they wanted, where they wanted them to go, and I would listen to them and their stories and help them figure out how to best place, you know, their tattoos to, you know, to best fit their stories, you know. So it was the sort of therapy that I was doing in the tattoo shop, you know. And
you got
I was
a tattoo shop
shopper.
In Chicago as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I know there are a lot of them around Belmont and Clark Street areas, and there was one off Broadway near Montrose.
Yeah, there are a lot of shops. There are a lot of shops, but I'd like to leave the tattoo shop unnamed.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. You are still involved in helping people and providing customer service and listening to their stories to assist them.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if this was really pinnacle of all of the things that you wanted to do because it not only hit home, but it was something mm-hmm. that you were accustomed to doing.
Definitely, yeah. You know, and one of the things that was best about working at the tattoo shop, honestly, is when active duty or veterans came in and wanted to get tattoos in memorial of someone that they lost or just a memory of their time, things like this. It was always more special for me. And, you know, hearing those stories and you know, it's and getting to help them figure out where to put things and how to place it, you know, it was always more special to me. I've known since I was a little kid that I wanted to do something with the military, and I knew in sixth grade I was making a list of colleges that I was going to apply to that were all military schools, and, you know, I ended up not going to military school. I got into the Citadel and Virginia Military Institute, decided not to go, and I think it was best, because I have the civilian perspective with the military heart, and so I'm able to really help veterans in the best way. And I think the veterans and the active duty members that I met at the tattoo shop really got that from me when I was there. So it was a good time.
What would you say was one of the most exciting places that you remember going as a child, traveling?
The place that I call home is Guam, you know.
Oh.
So I spent my formative years there. People ask me where I'm from, and I say Guam. People say, where's home? And I say Guam, for sure. It was a little teeny island. The words Guam are bigger than the dot on the map, but I have the most vivid memories there, and I just want to go back every day. I love it. It's definitely, like, the best place that I remember growing up, for sure.
Wow, I could believe it. Did they have a lot of jungles and things of that sort, or a lot of outside country living, or what was it kind of like?
Yeah, it's like Hawaii, but very, like, a small version of the smallest island, Hawaiian island, and, you know, it has a jungle, but we call it the boonies.
Yeah.
you know? And when you POS to Guam, your furniture isn't there, so you get like the kind of rental furniture, and so we call it boonie furniture, because
wow.
You know, so yeah, it's very tropical, and there's like the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest trench in the world, is right next to Guam. I've swam over it numerous times. There's beautiful reefs there, tropical fish. It's a beautiful place. And it's a lot cheaper than Hawaii and less populated. The people are so friendly. The food is so good, you know. So if
wow.
you ever have a chance to vacation somewhere and you don't want to go to Hawaii, go to Guam, for sure.
I think that, you know what, and that sounds to me like a place that's off the beaten path, and those are the places that I like to frequent. When you don't really get
yeah.
the crowds, but you still get everything else. And I can just imagine the food and the fish. But we're at that point in the interview where, you know, it's winding down. So you really shared a lot with us about who you are, your passion. We love you for that. You're part of our network now. So whenever we think of anything dealing with the military, you're going to be, you know, on that list to send to, you know, our members who have people transitioning. Is there anybody, anything that you would like to thank?
Oh, yes. You know, I would like to thank Christy Rutherford. She was in the Coast Guard. She's an officer, for giving me a great shout out earlier on LinkedIn about my interview. Michael Kaplan, who was Special Forces, who is faced with Phase 2 Advantage. I'd like to thank you for having me on Think Big Radio and for keeping in touch with me, you know, all of this time, and finally having me on. It's such an honor, you know. I think that's the list, really, for right now.
All right. Well, we really appreciate your time and taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show. And, of course, we'll be marketing the show after the show. And for all you guys out there listening to thinkbigradio.com, again, we appreciate you. For those of you who tuned in a little bit later into the interview, within 5 to 10 minutes, you can pick up the parts of the interview that you missed. We just really didn't have time for questions looking at the time that you guys called in. So once again, think big and have a great evening. Thank you, Deanna Cowling.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.